We begin the current Tav Masechtas Pesachim Daf Lamed. We begin 10 lines down from the top of the Yomid, but the Gemara continues the theme of the previous Daf. And that is, today's Daf is going to be speaking out specifically regarding Blias. These are the different absorptions that there are in the Kli in the vessel. And also regarding Kashering, how to go ahead and purge those tastes, those Blias that are inside the vessel. However, specifically, the Gemara is going to begin as a continuation, as a bridge from the previous discussion, the previous Daf. And as the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Rav says, and Rav is going to his opinion, which was recorded in the previous Daf, and that is, he held, like Rabbi Huda, that Chametz, even after Pesach, is going to be A, Asr Bahana, B, is another thing that his opinion was, that Chametz is Asr B'mashahu, even in a minute amount, although generally things become batal, B'raib, or B'shishim, however, Chametz is something that's going to be Asr B'mashahu, even in a small amount. And third of all, the third thing that's going to be introduced in today's daf is that he holds Nisan Tam Levgam is Aser, which is that although generally when the Kli, when the vessel is what's called not a Ben Yoimer, it's already 24 hours past since it absorbed that flavor. Now, although that flavor, let's say it's something that's forbidden, let's say Chametz, is going to be coming out, and even after Pesach, let's say Rav holds Chametz is Aser Bahano, there is an opinion that says Nisan Tam Levgam is Mutter, that once it comes out, after 24 hours, it's giving a bad taste. That bad taste that's now mixing with the other flavors inside the pot is not going to make it Aser. However, Rav held that it is going to make it Aser, even though it's Tam Levgam, it's giving a bad taste, and even though it's after 24 hours, it's still going to be Aser. So based on these three concepts, two of them that we learned in the previous stuff, A, that he holds that after Pesach, Chametz is Aser, there's never a time that Chametz is going to be permitted. That is, even after Pesach, it's Aser Bahano. And Chametz makes it Aser even in a minute amount, which will be included in the concept of Blias, that although Blias is also not even really of substance, it's the flavor that's going in, but it's still something, so that even the mash, even the minute amount, if it's going to be mixed in whatever you're cooking inside that pot now, will go ahead and be introduced to this flavor of Chametz. And third of all, even if it's, no matter how long you wait, and it's going to be Tam Lefgam, it's going to be giving a bad taste because it was sitting there so long, still that's Aser. So based on these three principles, Rav says, Kedeirois bePesach Yishaberu, that the pots that have chametz inside of them, that if these pots are made out of earthenware on Pesach, you have to break them. And that's because, as we explained, because there's no way that you can utilize them because they're going to stay aser because of the chametz that's inside of it. And even though it's a mashu, the what's inside of it, the blias, it's going to have a hundred times, 600 times more in the pot than what the blias are. It doesn't make a difference because it's aser b'mashu. And even if you wait a day or two or three, it doesn't make a difference because even though it's tam lefgam, it's going to be aser. However, Rashi just tells us that halacha does not follow like Rav for two reasons. One is because, as we had mentioned at the top of this amud from the previous daf, that Rava says the halacha lemaisa is that a mixture after Pesach, which, as he said, Rav was passing, the halacha is really like Reb Shimon, that in truth, chametz is mutter achar Pesach. It's only aser because of a knas, a penalty, because you even bal yirah bal yematzer. And therefore, any mixture whatsoever is going to be mutter, and hence, for sure, when blias are coming out, where that's a very, almost a nil of a mixture, because it's just a very minute amount, definitely going to be mutter achar Pesach. And the second of all is that Rashi says, we paskin, there's some tam lefgam, if it gives after a ben yoyme, after 24 hours, it gives a bad taste, those blias are going to be mutter, it's not going to make the mixture aser. And this, once the 7 days of Pesach pass by, whatever was inside the kli is already tam lefgam, and therefore Rashi says, l'halach l'maisa, we don't follow this opinion like Rav. However, the Gemara asks on this opinion of Rav. So Rav Lishitase does hold that these vessels you have to break, because what are you going to do? You can't use them anymore, because no matter how long you wait, after Pesach is going to be Aser, the Blias, even though it's a very, very minute amount, it's still a problem. And even if it's giving a bad taste, it's still a problem. So therefore, Rav says you got to break it because there's nothing you can do about it. And since the Cheres, as we'll discover on this daf, there's nothing you can do about Cheres to go ahead and kasher them. But then the Gemara says, Vamai, but why is that? L'shahinu achar Pesach. Okay, so on Pesach you can't use them, but wait till after Pesach. V'la'avid b'huhu shaloi b'minin, and use it for something that's not the same type as what the chametz is. So let's say chametz is flour. So that's, yes, things that are just like that, the same type, of the same kind as flour, that would be aser even a mashu. However, use it for things that are not the same type. Let's use it for kosher meat, which is, as we had learned in the previous stuff, that Rav had said, that chametz shaloi bezmani, which means chametz after Pesach, is only aser b'minai, when it's the same type, as a mashu. But if it's shaloi b'minai, which means something of a different kind, so you have flour, but if you have it with, let's say, meat, then it's going to be mutter with a mashu if it's just a minute amount. And bli'is are definitely a minute amount. It's like less. There's no substance, really. So the question the Gemara is asking is, so you're right that if you were to use it, let's say, if you would be cooking flour inside of this pot after Pesach, yeah, that's a problem, because Rav does hold that achar Pesach it's asa b'hano, even b'mashu, if it's b'mina, and if it's the same kind. But shaloi b'mina, as we had quoted Rav in the previous daf, he holds that it wouldn't be asa b'mashu, so why do you have to break it, hold on to it, and use it for shaloi b'mina, achar Pesach? Now the Gemara says, you're right, technically you could do that, but gizera, it's a decree, dim asa l'mevet b'hu b'mina, we don't allow you to hold on to it, because now you're going to be using it, it's in your pantry, you're going to take it out, you say, okay, I could use it, and you're not going to remember that it's just for shaloi b'minai. You might come to do it with something b'minai, and you're going to have treifa b'lias inside your flour dish that you're making, and therefore you can't hold on to it, and that's why you have to break it. That's Rav's opinion. Shmuel HaMashmuel says, lo yishaber, you don't have to break it. Av mashu lachas mani, but you can't use it on Pesach, because chametz and Pesach is aser b'mashu, even according to Shmuel, but you could hold on to it until after Pesach. And then v'avad b'hu b'in b'minai b'in shaloi b'minai. And he says, not only that, you could use it shalei b'minai, even b'minai, the same type, which although generally Shmuel agrees to Rav in principle, that things that are usur going to make a problem even with mashu, if it's b'minan, if it's the same kind, no matter how many there are, it's not going to become batal. However, after Pesach, Shmuel says you can use it, because v'azah Shmuel tameh, Shmuel goes according to his reasoning that was mentioned in the previous daf. That he says, the amr Shmuel lahanu demasvi kandi, as we find, that Shmuel told those that were selling pots, after Pesach, because, you know, a lot of people had to get new pots because they had to break them all from before Pesach if they had chametz and there's no way to kasher them if they were made out of cheres. So he told the pot sellers, Ashvu zvine akandaichu. Basically, I want you to stabilize the prices of your pots. Don't charge, don't inflate the prices more than what they're really worth, because you're like, hey, we have it's a real market now. We can get our money out of this. Don't raise the prices. V'iloyin, if not, darshin l'chu k'Reb Shimon. I'm going to go out and lecture for the public that halacha falls like Reb Shimon, that he says that the old pots are mutter after Pesach, and that is, there's nothing wrong with them because he holds that chametz achar Pesach is mutter b'hano. And therefore, he's told them, don't go ahead and although we're following not like that, we're saying that you have to have new pots, that the chametz that passed through Pesach is going to be aser, but if you're going to inflate the prices, I'm going to say the halacha is like Reb Shimon. So then the Gemara asks, why does he have to have these negotiations with them? Let him just go out into shul and give a clap on the beam and make a drasha and say that the halacha follows that like Reb Shimon. And the reason is because the Shmuel k'Reb Shimon severely. Shmuel actually does hold like Reb Shimon, as we had mentioned in the previous daf. And that's why Shmuel argues on this halacha of Rav. And he says that no, these pots after Pesach, you don't have to break them. You could just hold on to them and you could use it whatever you want, because chametz achar Pesach is not asa b'hano. There's no iser whatsoever. You don't have to have any bittel. Therefore, even b'minon is going to be kasher. So why, when it came to these pot sellers, did he say that, negotiate with them saying, look, you know, I'll let you go ahead and we're going to make people buy the new pots because chametz achar Pesach is aser, but if you're going to make it problems and inflate the price, I'm going to darshan like Reb Shimon, let him say Allah is like Reb Shimon. So the Gemara says, aser the Rav Hava. That location where he was at that time was where the Rav was the Rav, and therefore he passes Allah like Reb Yehuda. A chametz achar Pesach is aser b'hanah, and therefore it's going to be a problem even with b'mashu b'minan, and therefore certain pots that we had that have chametz inside of it, Rav said even you shouldn't hold on to it whatsoever and you should break it because however, that's why people are buying new pots, and therefore he said it doesn't make a difference. You're going to go so far, I'm going to go out, even though Rav is the Rav over here, I'm going to go out and say halacha is like Reb Shimon, and you lose all your profits, so don't go ahead and inflate the prices. So that was again the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel regarding these pots of cheres, if you have to break them or not, depending on how they paskin, if they paskin like Reb Yehuda or like Reb Shimon regarding chametz achar Pesach. So the Gemara continues now on this topic of blias, of absorptions of taste that go into the walls of the pots. So it says, Hahu Tanura, this oven, the Tochu Batichaya, that was smeared, the bottom of the oven floor was smeared with fat. And they do that because it gives a good flavor to the bread. So, Asra Rava Bari Loi L'Mechli L'Rifta. So he says, you can't eat any bread that you're going to bake inside this oven. And that's afilu b'milcha, that's even if it's just a terminology, as Rashi explains, that because you don't usually eat bread plain with nothing. So the most basic thing is some type of relish or even with just salt. So even with salt, l'oilam forever. In other words, even if you're going to go ahead and reheat the fire of the oven and reheat it and burn it out, it's not going to help for any other bread And that is because, as Rashi and Zvachim explains, this Amora held, this Rav Bar Ilai, that the taste never leaves the walls of the oven. And therefore, what's the problem? So it goes. So fine, you made this oven fleishig. Now the bread that you're going to be baking is going to be fleishig. But the problem is, Dilma Asala Mechle B'Kutcha, we're concerned you might come to eat the bread with kutach, which was a famous dip in Bavel, which had some milk inside of it. And therefore, bread is generally accepted as a parva item. If we're going to allow you to bake bread in this oven, which is never going to have the meat taste ever leave totally, it's always going to be some type of ablias that are inside of it, you might come to eat the bread with kutach, which is very common, and you might mistake that, and therefore you're never allowed to eat any bread that's baked in this oven. So the Gemara asks Meisa, you learn the Braisa. Ein loshen esa isa b'chalav. Again, a similar type of halacha. You're not allowed to knead dough with milk. You want to make for shavuos, whatever, you want to make a milchiga, you have a simcha, you want to make a milchiga challah. So you're kneading the dough with milk. So you're not allowed to do that. V'im loshen, if you kneaded the bread with milk, kolapas kulasur, the entire bread is going to be forbidden. You can't eat it. And what's the reason? Because of being accustomed to aveh, which Rashi and Zvachim there also says, so that you shouldn't come to eat the bread with meat. A lot of by meat meals, people generally a lot of times eat meat with that. They eat bread with the meat, and therefore, since you have a piece of bread, you have challah, whatever it is, you might come to eat it with meat. Therefore, if you made it milchiga bread, you can't eat it whatsoever because we're afraid you might come to eat it with meat. Kayetzav. Similarly, the Gemara continues onto Amud Beis. Ain toshen as sataner b'alyim, which is similar to the halacha this Amor was talking about. You now let her go ahead and spread the fat of the tail of an animal, which was very fatty, on the floor of the oven, the imtash, and if one did spread it, if smeared it on the floor, kolapas kulasur, the entire bread is going to be asur. And again, similar to as we had said, because there's going to be a meat taste inside the bread, which is going to be a problem, you might come to have with kutach. However, the Braisa does say, achi yasak hasatana, until you burn out the oven. Once you burn out the oven, as the Gemara says, hahusa katana, it sounds like, oh, it's a problem because you have that meat taste in there. But if you burn out the oven, miyashari, it sounds like that then it would be permitted. You could kasher the oven by burning it out, and it will get rid of the meat taste, and then you'll be able to bake bread because now you could have wukudach. So the Gemara says, tiyufta derava bari loy tiyufta. That refutes what he said. He said, you can never bake bread in this oven again. This oven is done for. Might as well just break it because the taste will never leave. Here you see clearly from a braisa that the taste does leave, and if you burn it out, you'll be able to have baking bread here and again because it's not going to have a meat taste. So then the Gemara asks, based on this, Amalei Ravina Ravashi. So v'chimiyacher the taste of Rava Bar Loi. Now that we refuted him and we understand now that you could burn out even a kli cheres, which is what we're talking about. The different we say a vessel that you had made meat chametz, whatever it is that you made inside of it, you could burn it out to get rid of the blias. But then the question becomes, as we started off our sugya, amai kama Rav Kederis bePesach Yishaberum. And why does Rav say that the pots on Pesach you have to break? What do you mean? Go ahead, burn it up and do what's called libun on it, which is you fire it up and you put a torch in there. And in this case, you just burn up the oven inside as it's normally heated up. And that will go ahead and pull out all the blias, as we find that that's something that you could do. As the Braisa says, Shiyasek Satana, it'll pull out all the taste. Why does Rav say you have to break it? So Amalei said, it's not difficult on Rav. Because Hassam over there, Rav was talking about, when Rav would explain, when the Braisa says, Achi Yasik, that until you heat up the oven, and then that will pull out the meat taste, and now you can go ahead and make bread, because it's not a problem anymore. But it's because it sounds like that Hesek will work, is Tana Shel Mateches. We're talking about an oven, not a classic earthenware oven. Rather, we're talking about an oven made out of metal. And therefore, that Liban works. It will come out of the walls of the oven if it's made out of metallic substance. Hacha Bekter Shel Cheres. Here, what Rav is talking about, that nothing will help, the pot is done for, you can't go ahead and kasher it, is talking about a pot made out of earthenware. And that is the Torah that says testimony regarding earthenware, that the taste will never, ever leave, and therefore you're stuck, because you'll always have this chametz that's asabano according to Rav. And similarly, if you had a taner made out of cheres, Rav would say that the Braisa would agree that firing it up wouldn't help, and therefore it's not difficult for the Braisa, because the Braisa is talking about that the oven over there was made out of matches, out of metal. That's one answer the Gemara gives. If you want, you could say the Havah Bishal Cheres. Truthfully, the Braisa is also talking about an oven made out of earthenware. But then the question is, so why does Rav say you have to break it in an oven, and the Braisa says you could go ahead and kasher it? So Zeh, the case of the Taner of the Braisa, which says that it helps to fire it up and do Liban and kasher that way, is Hesekin Mibifnim, because you have to understand, how is an oven and a pot generally used? An oven is heated up from the inside. And that is where the blias are, because you spread the shaman, the fats on the bottom of the oven. When you heat it up from the inside, that is where it's attacking the blias. It's going to be able to pull it out. V'zeh, however, the case of the pot, has seikun mi bachutz. The reason why you have to break it is because the blias are in the inside. But where is a pot heated up from? From the outside, it's underneath the external part of the pot where it's heated, and that's not going to pull out the blias, which are in the inside, and that's the difference. So although they're both cheres, there is a difference when cheres could be kashered and when not. If it's heated on the inside, then it could pull out the blias that are inside. If it's heated from the outside, as pots are, then Rav says you got to break it because it will never pull it out. But then the Gemara asks an obvious question. So if you're going to say, so wait a second, so go ahead and heat it up from the inside, the pot, and then you'll be able to pull out the blias. And then the Gemara answers no. Because chayas alav mishum depaka, the person is going to be concerned, he's going to be afraid. If I'm going to heat up my pot from the inside, it's going to break it. It's going to be too much for the pot to handle from the inside. And therefore, if we allow a person to kasher a pot, which is only through heating it up from the inside, he's going to be afraid and he's going to like be meira heter and say, you know what, I could kasher it from the outside because that's generally how I normally heat it up, and I understand that kashering is how it's normally used, so he's going to heat it from the outside, which is not going to work, and therefore we say, no kashering, a klicheris, that's heated up from the outside, because you're going to be afraid to do it the way it has to be done on the inside, because you're afraid it's going to break, and you do it from the outside, which is not going to help, and you're going to end up having a tray for pot, and therefore we said you can't do it like that, and that's why Rav said you have to break it. So again, those are the two approaches of the Gemara. Either one's matches, one's cheris, or even though they're both cheris, one's heated from the outside, one's heated from the inside. So the Gemara concludes and says, Hilkach, therefore, halacha lemaisa, comes at high buchya. It's a certain type of kli cheres that's like a brick, and they would bake and fry a bread on it. So, heseka mi bachutzu, that's something that it's heat, the heat, the fire that cooks the bread that's there is from the outside, and therefore, v'aser, it's going to be aser, again, because since it's heated from the outside, you're not going to be kashering in the proper way, and therefore, you have to go ahead and break it, you can't use it. However, the Gemara does tell us, but v'imal yegumi, if you will fill up the inside of that buchya with hot coals, then shabar dami, then that will be okay. You'll be able to kasher that way, and that is because that type of a kli, you're not concerned. It's not. It's more sturdy. And it's not going to break if you fill it up from the inside. There, we're not so concerned. We allow you to go ahead. But the idea is, you would have to fill it up from the inside to kasher it, not from the outside, because again, since the blias are on the inside, it won't help to go ahead and kasher from the outside. You would have to go ahead and kasher it from the inside. Now the Gemara continues on this topic of blias, again, of absorption, of taste, of things that go into pots that you're cooking with. So Amalei Ravina Rav Ashi, Hani Sakina BePischa, these knives on Pesach, Heich Avdin Lu, what could we do with it? In other words, you go ahead, you use a knife all year round, Chametz, and now you want to go ahead and use it on Pesach, so what do you do? So Amalei, so he responded to him, he says, L'didi, for me, Chadetu Kavdin, and you want to know, I get new knives, you know, because these things have, you know, they have Chametz in them, they have blias. So for Pesach, you not have Chametz, you don't even have enough from chametz, you don't have any taste of it, so therefore I go ahead and get new knives. So Amalei, so he responded to him and said, Tenech mar d'avshalei, I understand the master that for you it's feasible because you're wealthy. D'loy avshalei mai, my question was, someone that can't buy new knives, what does such a person do? He needs a knife for Pesach, and he used a knife all year round with chametz. So Amalei says, no, ano ke'in chadeto kemino, what I meant to say was, I don't buy new knives, I get like new knives, in the sense that I kashered. And he told him, like, what I do is, kitayu betina, I put the handles of the knives in clay, and that is to protect the blade that when I'm going to head and kasher it on the flame, that it shouldn't get burnt, it shouldn't ruin the handle. Uparzalayu benu, and I put the blade, the iron part, in a flame, which is called libun, which is when you put it on directly on a fire. The hodumayalno likitayu bereishkin, and then after I go ahead and I'm done with the flame, then I go ahead and I put the handle part in boiling hot water, which is commonly called hagola. And that's how I kasher it, because the handle is not put on the fire. It's not where the main part of the chametz is, but you hold on to it. But maybe some blias got into it. Therefore, that would require only a lower level of kashering, which is hot, boiling hot water. However, the handle, the blade itself, which is used with the chametz itself, he felt it has to be done with libun, has to be put on the fire itself. However, the Gemara does say that mehilchas halacha is that you don't have to put even the blade on the fire itself. Rather, even the blade itself is the same as the handle in the sense that it would be enough with what's called hagala, as the Gemara says, idvi idbereishkin. They both would be enough to kasher in boiling hot water, Uba Kli Rishon, and in a Kli Rishon, which is the vessel itself that was heated by on the fire itself. A Kli Rishon is when you would take that pot of boiling hot water and pour it into another one. So it has to be how the one that was heated on the fire itself, but it's enough in boiling hot water. You wouldn't have to use it on fire itself, possibly because it's not used on the fire itself, the knife. It's used to cut things. Now, generally, it's not used cutting on a fire itself. It's used on cutting on something maybe in a Kli Rishon. And therefore, the Gemara says, halacha is that it only needs hagala, but it doesn't need to have liban, it doesn't have to be kashered on the fire itself. So on this topic, the Gemara continues, Amrav Huna Beredi Yeshua, eitz par, a wooden spoon that's used to mix a pot. So how does one go ahead and kasher that? It's used on a pot. So the Gemara says, magiloi, you can purge it, you can kasher it, bereischen uba kli rishon, in boiling hot water, on the Kli Rishon. And the Gemara explains the reasoning for this, because Ksavra, he holds Kebailai as something swallows, which means that as something absorbs something, which is on a, through a Kli Rishon. How does this mixing spoon used, even with chametz or whatever the thing that was not kosher, or whatever it is, meat, or that you use it with? You use it in a pot. Now, a pot is a Kli Rishon, it's not in the fire itself, it's using the Kli Rishon. So Kach Polte, that's how it will go and spit it out, is the term. In other words, how will you get the Blias out is the same way that it comes in. And therefore, since it comes in with a Kli Rishon, the way it goes out is with a Kli Rishon. And that's how the Klal is with Kashering, is Kabbalah Kach Polte, the way it comes in, that's how it goes out. And if something's used over the fire, if it's a spit that's used to make shish kebab, then it's used on the fire itself, then you would have to do a leaving, you have to kasher it on the fire. In this case, the wooden spoon, since it's used in boiling hot water in the Kli Rishon, that's exactly how you would kasher it from whatever blias that it took in. So the Gemara continues on this topic. And the Bach says the gears is supposed to be mimereimer from mereimer. Hani mani de kunya, these kunya vessels, which are made out of earthenware, however, they're glazed with lead. So it's an interesting type of a question, because we said earthenware is problematic. Because earthenware, as the Gemara will demonstrate shortly, and as we mentioned before, never comes out of the Kli Cheres. It gets stuck in there. So whatever is made in Kli Cheres, you can't kasher that. However, it's glazed with lead. So therefore, in the way, in the sense, it's covered. And therefore, maybe it's not the Cheres that's the element that we're coming in contact with. It's rather the lead, which maybe could be kashered. So he asked, Ma'u l'shtamishu b'hu b'pischa? What's the halacha? Can you use these vessels on Pesach? So he said, he explained as follows. He says, Yeruka Leiti Ba'ilach, he says, look, the green ones, definitely there's no question that you should have. Because they're made from the ground, from clay, which they dig where there's alum there, which is very strong, and the blias are eternal. They stay in there forever. Where Devadei Asir, that, if it's made out of the green ones, that's definitely going to be problematic. It's never going to come out of it. It's very strong. It absorbs very quickly, and it stays inside. It doesn't come out. Kiti Ba'ilach Uchmi B'chivri Mai. When would your question apply would be to the black and white ones, where they're not so strong. Then the question would be, are they beleya? Do they stay in there forever? Can you kasher them? And then he said, he continued and continued to qualify the question. He says, and moreover, v'hecha de'isbehu kartufni, where there are cracks inside the pot, then loyti bayilach, then there's also no question about it, because devadi asiri, then definitely it's going to be asir, because it's getting through the lead, it's getting through the cracks, and it's going into the earthenware vessel, it's also going to be stuck inside of there, and therefore definitely it's going to be asir. Kiti bayilach deshiimai, your whole question would apply if they're smooth. So again, it has to be the black or white ones, and it has to be smooth. Then your question is, do we say that these vessels are not going into the cheres part, and therefore they could be kasher? So Amalei, so he said to him, Chazin elohu demidaisi. I saw these kunya vessels that we're discussing, that they, so to speak, sweat, and that they spit out the liquids that they absorb, they come out of the outer wall. And since they sweat, amabali. So obviously they're absorbing, because how can moisture be coming out of the outside wall if it's not absorbing and coming through the wall? And therefore, he says, Vasiri. Therefore, they're usr and the blias are never going to fully come out anymore. As the Gemara says, what's the reason for this? Because Vatoyer Ha'ida Klicheres. The Torah has testified regarding earthenware vessels that once it's Baileya, and here we know it's Baileya, we know that it's absorbing. We had questions, we said, because it's smooth, it's the black and white type, maybe it's not really going in. We're saying it definitely is absorbing because we see the moisture on the outer part of the vessel with how to get there. It obviously went through. And since it's earthenware, the Torah tells us that it never leaves the walls totally forever. And that is because, as it says in the Torah regarding wooden or metal vessels, where there it says, Tavir be'esh, you put it through fire, umarik v'shaitiv, that you'll do these ways of purging the blias that came inside. But by kli charis, the halacha is, one must break it, and therefore, even by the black ones, or the white ones, and even if they're smooth, it will be usur because it is being absorbed, and if it's being absorbed in kli charis, it never leaves forever. And then the Gemara asks on this, but why is it any different regarding halacha of yain nesach, which has halachic status of like the zara on this wine? It's forbidden for hana. The darish meremer, the meremer had said, ma'ani dekunya, these glazed vessels. Again, this is meremer talking about the same type of vessels that bein ochma bein chivri, whether they're the black ones or the white ones, bein yeruka, and even if it's the green ones, shari is permitted. But the question is why? If you're telling me that when you use these vessels, the blias go inside and they never leave. And yayin nesach is something that's forbidden too. So why do we say that if it's even the black or green or even the white, all these things that they're going to be permitted, why is that? The blias go inside and they never leave. So how can you use it for other things which are going to have this trefi yayin nesach inside of it? So if you're going to tell me, wait, there's a big difference between the two topics. Yayin nesach is only rabbinic because it's not that it was actually used for v'dizar. It has the assumption that that it's being used for that, and therefore we say that it's going to be asim drabbanan. Chametz dairaisa, and chametz is isa dairaisa, and therefore, okay, so by the blias of yayin nesach will be lenient, and the blias of chametz, which is midairaisa, will be chamer. But the question is, called the talking rabbanan kin dairaisa talking. We know that whatever the rabbanan instituted, they instituted with the same standards as the Torah standards. And therefore, since they're Beileya, they're Aser. And since they're Aser and they're Kli Cheres, it's never going to come out. So if it's not going to come out, so why Beyayin Nesach is it kosher? So Amaleis, it says there's a fundamental difference how they're normally utilized. This vessel of Yayin Nesach, which is a cold liquid, and the case of Chametz. Zeh, the case of Chametz, Tashmisho Yaldei Chamen. It's used through heat. In other words, the entire year, you use this vessel by cooking. It's a pot. You cook chametz inside of it. And since you cook chametz inside of it, it's boileya because heat is what goes and drives it inside the vessel. Bezeh, however, the vessel that's holding yayin nesach, it's a flask. It's holding wine, which is a cold liquid. Tashmisha yaldei tzainin, its utility is through cold, and therefore, that's not going to be boileya, and that's why it is going to be kosher to be used. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Amar Rava bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Shmuel, Hakol Hakelim Shenishtamshu Ben Chametz." Even though we're talking about chametz, again, the deraisa case that it was used throughout the year with things that are chametz, but Bitzoinin, it was used in a cold fashion. That is, it wasn't used to heat up chametz inside of it. It was a container where you had a chametz beverage or whatever it is the whole entire year in that flask. Mishtamish ben matzah, you can use it for matzah. Again, the same principle that the Gemara had just answered, that yayin nesach is mutter because it was used just with cold. Cold is not absorbing into the walls of the vessel, and that would be permitted. However, chutz min beisar, the exception is the place where the sourdough is kept. And that's a certain type of a vessel which the woman would put, they would put the sa'ir there, the sourdough, and they would put inside of it the dough over there. And sometimes they would leave it there overnight. And that is different, although that was used with cold, it wasn't being heated, it wasn't being baked into bread over there. But hoyel shechimutze kosher, since its fermentation is very strong, it has a lot of power that it gives, and therefore, even though it's cold, it will still be going into the walls and being absorbed, and hence, since it's klicheres, it's never going to come out, that will be asam pesach. Similarly, the Gemara says, Amar Vashi, ubeis charoises. Beis Charoses is charoses from the terminology of kihui, which is something that has it's acrid. It has a strong taste, which is a type of a vessel that they would put chaymitz, vinegar, inside of it. And anything that has this type of this strong type of a flavor. And they would customarily put flour over there, and they would dip things inside of it, like meat inside of it the entire year. And the flour would be fermented because of the different elements that are inside of it, the things that are like vinegary. And therefore, the Beis Charoses is kebeisar. He says, has the same halachic status as the place where the sourdough is kept. Shechimutze kosher dami, because the vinegar also has a strong fermentation. And therefore, it's going to be usr even if it was not hot, not used with chamen, rather with tzainin. That will be an exception, and it will be usr even if it was used with kol. So something similar to the Gemara says, a merava, hani agani de mechuza, these troughs of mechuza, hoil v'tadiri lemelish buchamiri. Since customarily in these troughs they would knead the s'or over there, the sourdough, umash buchamir, and they would leave it there. So kebeis sa'ar, shechemutzi kasher dami. So therefore it has the halachic status like a beis sa'ar, because it has a strong fermentation, it's going to be asa. So they must pshita, what I mean, pretty obvious. Same halacha, you said that if you, the place where the sourdough is kept, it's asa. So they would put the sourdough, so it's going to be asa. I think Moshe says, no, ma'ad tema, kiven derevicha, since it's very wide, it's very open, the truss, has a lot of room. Shalit buhavira v'leibali. So the ear, the chemicals, the carbon dioxide that's there gets inside, and therefore it's not being absorbed into the pot because the chemical reaction is not as intense were it to be in a tight space. And that thing where it says, Kamash Malan, that no, even though there's a lot of ear space, there's a lot of room, it's still, since it's very strong, the fermentation, it will be going inside the trough, and therefore the trough is going to be also on Pesach, even though it was used as cold, and because the blis do go inside, and since the blis inside of Klicher, there's nothing you can do about it, and it's an usher for Pesach. Now we continue with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, which was talking about chametz that's left after Pesach. It was left over Pesach. And our Mishnah will be talking about whose chametz is it. And as we said, that the chametz of a Nachri is going to be mutter, chametz of Yisrael is going to be aser. And that is where the discussion is, whose chametz actually was it to say if it's aser or not. So the Mishnah begins. Nachri shehilva es Yisrael. If a non-Jew lends a Jew money, al chemtze. However, he used the Jew's chametz as collateral, as a mashkin. That was, this transaction was being done before Pesach. Now it's after Pesach. Achra Pesach muta bahana. So now after Pesach, this chametz, which was the Jew's chametz, but it was collateral to the non-Jew who was the lender, is going to be mutter b'hano. So the Gemara later on will explain that we're talking about that the chametz is being kept in the house of the non-Jew who wants it as collateral. And since it's there the entire days of Pesach, since when the time comes for the Jew to pay up and he doesn't pay up, and there's no lacking of collection because it's already in the house of the non-Jew, so therefore it was revealed retroactively that from the time he already put it in the non-Jew's house, which was from before Pesach, it was already considered the non-Jew's. Hence, after Pesach, it's not going to be asa b'hanah because it was a non-Jew's chametz that was over lava Pesach, which is mutter. And in reverse, v'yisrael shehil v'es nachri al chametzai, if a Jew lends a non-Jew money with the non-Jew's chametz as collateral to the Jewish lender, so achar Pesach asa b'hanah. After Pesach, that chametz will be asa b'hanah. And as the Gemara there says, that's similar where in the sense of where he kept it at the Jew's house. And since if the time comes for the non-Jew to pay up, there's not lacking any collection. So therefore we view it as if it was in the Jew's property, the entire Pesach. And therefore since it's the Jew's chametz, it's going to be usher for Hana Achar Pesach. So the Gemara introduces a topic which will then later come back to the topic of our Mishnah. Itma we learned. Baal Chayiv, a creditor, someone that lent his friend money, and then he made his property, the borrower's property, indebted to the loan to say that if he doesn't pay up by this amount, by that day, so then he's going to be able to collect from those properties. And then the time came, and the person didn't pay up. So it's collection time. So we have machlokes exactly the understanding of this transaction now, of the collateral, of this, what was meshubed, when it's going into the lender's domain now because he didn't pay up. When do we view that transaction? So Abayo Amar Lemafrehu Geiba. He is collecting retroactively, which is when he's collecting now, it's revealed retroactively that from the time that he already lent him the money, it was really in his property. Because that's what it was. It's really mine. It's when you default, it's now revealed that was really mine from the time of the loan. However, Rava Amar Rava says, he says, no, it was never in the chazak, it wasn't in the domain of the lender from the time of the loan. He really only collects that collateral, that object from here and on. And the Gemara will explain later exactly what is the ramifications of that. Anyways, he's only collecting it now. What is the difference if when we define that it was actually in his reshus or not? So now the Gemara explains, first of all, the whole premise of this machlokes. Kalhecha da akdish leiva, where the borrower goes ahead and he says that I want to be makdish, I want to give all my properties, all my resources, it's all going to hekdish to Hashem within the time period before he defaulted on his loan. So regarding that, or let's say another case, v'zavin leiva, or if let's say the borrower goes ahead and he sells those properties that's indebted to the loan, to the lender, he sells it before his time up, when before the collection come knocking on the door, he already sold it. So regarding that, kulamale pligi, nobody argues, even Rava, that he says that that it only comes into the lender's property right now, that up until now it was in the domain of the borrower, even he would agree that you cannot sell it to other people in the meantime or to give it as hektish to hektish because it's indebted, it's collateral for the malo, for the lender as his loan. Now, although it is the borrower's up until now, it's not really in his rishus, it's not really in his domain. He doesn't have full control over it. And therefore, for hektish, for example, the pasuk Vayikra Chav Zayin says, "Beish kiyaktish es beisai kaidish." If a person will go ahead and sanctify his house as holy, which the Gemara learns to say that just like your house is in your rishus, in your domain, so to everything that you want to be makdish has to be something in your rishus, and this is not considered your rishus because it's indebted to that loan. And therefore, de'asi malva v'tar. So therefore, the lender could come and grab away from the purchasers in the case that when he sold it off with nothing, he doesn't have to pay anything because it was indebted to him. And similarly, and we continue to the example of Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph, Va'asim Malvi Park, so too in regards to the case that when he was Makdish in the interim time, that he can go ahead and redeem from Hektish, even with just a small amount, just a token payment, to say and go ahead and give me that whole property that he was Makdish, because that was also indebted to me. Now, although he has to go ahead and use a minute amount, that's for a reason that we shouldn't say that Hektish could be redeemed could be removed from a status of hektish without any redemption. So therefore, then he can go ahead and collect his debt. That's not like we learned in the Mishnah in Erechin in Perek Shema Yisayim that talks about a case of, let's say, someone was makdish, something that was worth 90 mana, and his debt to his creditor was 100 mana. So what happens is, Moisiv, the lender comes, and he adds onto his loan a dinner, another dinner. In other words, that could be used as the redemption of, because you have to at least use a token redemption. Upaides and the chasim elu, and then he redeems these properties from the hand of Hektish with this extra dinner that he's adding on, and then he takes it in his debt, which he's owed more than even what the resources, the property was. Now, again, as we said, this dinner that he's giving, the reason the Gemara there explains is that we shouldn't seem like you could remove something from Hektish without a redemption. Now, although Rava says in Ksubas and Dafnon Tesma base that three things do remove from Shibud, from the collateral, which is if something you're Makdish, which is our case, Chametz and Shichur, when you're Meshachar, you're Evid. So therefore, why are we saying that it's indebted to him? Once you're Makdish, it's not. That is, as the Gemara there explains, that's just by Kedushas HaGuf. Something which has, if you're being makdish to intrinsic sanctity, which is kainamas, or if you give a behemoth as a carbon, or a beggar that you go ahead and you spread out on the dead person, as a gemara, and you vomit some samech vavam, and Beis explains. However, here we're talking about that the person was makdish at monetary value. It says, oh, it's all going to hektish, and which goes to the belik abayis, which gives it monetary sanctity. That does not remove it from the shibud, and therefore, again, it's still indebted to the person. And everyone would agree, although they're arguing when does it come into the domain of the lender, even if it's not in his domain yet, it doesn't mean it's fully in the borrower's domain. And everyone would agree that he can't sell it off or give it to Hektish. And if he did, the lender could come at the designated time and remove it from them. Key pligi, the whole machlokes of Bayan Rava was, the zavin malva, if the lender goes ahead and he sells it in the interim time, the kaddish malva, or the malva goes ahead and he goes and sanctifies it to Hektish during the designated time, that, let's say, that piece of land that's Meshubatim, he wasn't Makdish the actual debt, rather the land. Now when the designated time comes up, and the guy didn't pay up, and he's coming to collect that loan, and now he wants to retract from the Hektish. That is where we have the Machloikis. Abaya Amar L'mafrehu Grev. Abaya says that the collection is retroactive. And Kivin the Matazam Nivalei Pari, since the time came for the loan, for the lender to pay, for the borrower to pay up, and he doesn't pay up, igloi milsalama freya, so it gets retroactively revealed, the mikar bishusi havakoi, that it was always in the lender's domain. For shaper active, for shaper zafen. Now, although now he doesn't want it to happen because he changed his mind, whatever, oh, this is a great piece of land. However, he made a good hektish, he made a good sale because it was retroactively in his domain, and that's it, it's done. What's done is done. And therefore, it is a good hektish. The Rava says, no, mikano la bahu gaiva. The lender only collects it. It wasn't even in your domain up until now. I know it was Makdish. I sold it, but it was not my. I can't sell what's not mine because I only get it from here on. And that is why is it like that? Because kiven de ila havalei zuzi, if the borrower were to have money on that day, let's say he would borrow whatever it is, he won the lottery on just that day, a minute before the collection time came and the lender's coming to knock, have misalak lahu, he'd be able to remove the lender from this property bizuzi, with the money that he'd be paying up. Therefore, ishtakeach. It comes out, clearly, Rav is proving, that you can't say that the land was his, acquired from him from before. The hashda kokoni, obviously, he's only acquiring it right now with the debt that's owed with him. And therefore, you can't say that his hekdesh was a hekdesh or his sale was a sale, because you can't say retroactively, because if I gave to you with money right now, it wouldn't be yours. So obviously, it's just circumstantial in the sense that it's happening right now with the debt that's being the default of the loan. And that's why this is the machlek zabayin rabba. They're not arguing about if the borrower would do it. That's for sure, it's not good. The question was regarding the lender. If he goes ahead and is makdish and is mazman, in the interim, do we say that it was good, as Abaye says, because it works l'mafreya, or do we say that it wasn't good and he could retract? In other words, it would have to be created from new from now, because only mekan l'abah.